today on The Travel Guys.
In the travel news, the biggest winter storm in a long time is making travel extremely difficult across the country this weekend, and California tourism officials expect a rebound in visitor numbers this year. But I'm not so sure I agree with them. Those stories and more next in the travel news.
Is everyone entitled to overhead bin space above their seat on a plane? It's a point of contention frequently among flyers when boarding an airplane. Aren't you entitled, there's those words again, to put one item in the overhead? Well, we have the answer in our Smarter Traveler segment at 11:22.
Flying has lots of little aggravations. Today, our guest Charlie Leoka from Travelers United talks about a few of the little things we can do to be kind to each other and make flying life just a little easier at 11:35.
More gates, more everything, coming at the Sacramento airport. And a Delta pilot says a hat with the F word is not okay on his plane. Those items in our odds and ends segment coming up at 11:50.
Here to make you just a little smarter the next time you hit the road, thanks for joining us on today's edition of The Travel Guys.
On the road again.
Welcome, everyone. Welcome to another edition of the Travel and Entertainment Guys. Mark Hoffman and Tom Romano brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. Thanks for coming along. I'm done with this fog. Okay. wait a minute. Right off the top here, full disclosure, my friends. Today's program was recorded yesterday afternoon because Mr. Mark is... well, at this particular point in time, on his way to Key West, Florida. Tell me what you're going to do. You got a gaggle of sports leisure travelers. Tell me about this trip.
It's a miserable job, Tom, but somebody has to do it. That's the category this fits into. Every January, we take a group of people to Key West, to Miami, and then down the the highway there, down to the Florida Keys. And make a stop in Key Largo for a night, meet some alligators, meet some dolphins, have some fun in Key West, meet a drag queen. It's a really great trip. And the best part about it is it goes at a time of the year when the weather generally is like this here, short days. Man, I'll tell you, the sun not coming out and the only being light for 8 or 9 hours, I'm bored with this.
Well,
so I'm really sorry to leave you all here.
Yeah. You ought to come back. You ought to come back in a pretty good mood. I know.
They have like 12 hours of sunlight in Key West because it's so far south. And if you've never been to Key West, I will just tell you that you need to put it on your bucket list. It's an end of the road destination, and any end of the road destination is always a great place. I mean, I think I've said this before, when you take Jimmy Buffett and key lime pie and all of that stuff and you mix it all up together, why, you get just craziness. It's a little crazy, but it's controlled crazy. And I can't imagine going there in the summertime when it's hot and humid, but people from Florida do. Of course, I guess that's hot and humid. They're kind of used to that in the summertime. But anyway, yes, we will be in the Florida Keys and be back later in the week. And I will tell you all about it next weekend. But Key West is a destination you absolutely should consider.
Awesome, awesome. Right now, everybody's just kind of going a little foggy, stir crazy. The only way you can get to the sun is to drive up the hill. Well, enjoy the trip. We'll look forward to your report next Saturday at 11 a.m. Well, at the top of every Travel Guys radio show, we bring you up to date on what's been going on in the travel news. And with today's edition of the Travel News, once again, Mr. Mark Hoffman.
And as Tom mentioned, we tape the show late Friday afternoon, but already Friday afternoon, over 1,000 flights for Saturday have been canceled because of the winter storm. It's not hitting Sacramento, but it's hitting most of the rest of the country, except for perhaps Florida and Arizona. Maybe southern Nevada. Most of the country is either suffering from snow, sleet, a combination of the two, really, really, really cold temperatures. So it's not a good time to be traveling, unless, of course, you're going to Florida, which is where I happen to be headed. So that works out really well.
Well, with that being said, did you have to make any changes in your on your flight there? I'm assuming it's not a, a nonstop.
Well, no, it's not. But one tip that we talk to people about on the program and that I always adhere to, because we're moving at Sports Leisure Vacations 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 people, not 50, 30 people at a time. We almost always try to take on the outbound the first flight out. And that means we're fond of United particularly. So that means the 5 o'clock to Denver usually in the morning, which means people getting up at an ungodly hour. But the advantage of that is on a weekend like this, we're flying to Denver. Our plane is, our connecting plane to Miami is coming from San Francisco. So there's very little chance that there will be a delay there. And it's early in the day, so we can get in and get out of Denver, and the weather is good in Miami. So we should be among the very few people who are traveling this weekend who are going to not have a lot of issues. But I always suggest to people, especially on the outbound, especially if you have a cruise or a wedding or something that you need to go to, always try to travel as early in the day as you can, because there are much less problems, many fewer problems early in the day than later as the day goes on.
Okay. Yeah, I just was worried that you might get caught in some of that weather we were just talking about.
Airlines are issuing cancellation waivers. Keep in mind, though, there is a new rule that's gone into effect that if your flight is delayed more than 3 hours, that you are entitled to a refund. So if the airline offers you a voucher for travel this weekend, and these vouchers are kind of limited, they're only good for like a week or so. It's not like a forever travel voucher. So be careful before you accept an offer from the airline that you don't have better rights to just cancel the ticket and go and buy another one. Now, of course, if you're going to travel in a few days, be careful, because fares in close tend to be much more. So that travel waiver may be a good deal for many people, but it may not be a good deal for everyone if indeed you were going for a special event and now you don't need to go. We've talked on this program for a while about Spirit Airlines and how they have been tap dancing around bankruptcy. They've actually declared bankruptcy twice in the last year. We talked about the fact that Frontier Airlines was putting forward a bid to buy Spirit and maybe to put the two ultra low cost carriers together. That is apparently not going to happen. The Frontier bid seems unviable. There is a private equity firm now that has entered talks to buy Spirit. But I'm going to suggest to you, as we have suggested more than once on this program, that the funeral march for Spirit Airlines may be just around the corner. Again, I caution you, if you're going to fly on Spirit, you're flying in the next few days, okay. But if you buy a ticket a few months out to fly on Spirit Airlines, you are really rolling the dice against the wall. I mean, you really are doing that. Southwest Airlines, this next week, 27th of January, makes some huge changes. No longer will you board by ABC and by a number. Everybody will have a assigned seat on the aircraft. And it will be just like other airplanes where you have more legroom seats and preferred seats in the middle, and you're just stuffed into the back seats in the rear. And so that all happens this Wednesday. Southwest announced this week that all of the planes have been redone, so they have the extra legroom in the rows up front. So they are all ready to go. Of course, they've already started charging for bags. So all that we've lamented in the past, all the things that made Southwest different from everybody else, we'll make them all the same now.
Wow.
Except for the fact that we have more Southwest flights and more nonstop flights to more places here in Sacramento.
Well, us people that only fly Southwest and have for years, we're going to have to go to school, figure out how to properly select our seat. And what if you don't select a seat? Then you just get thrown in the back.
Well, dude, I'm sorry that you've been flying on Southwest all these years, but all of those of us who have been flying on other airlines occasionally, it works the same way.
Yeah.
You just go online and you see the seating chart. You pick out a seat.
Uh-huh.
You buy your ticket.
Yeah.
And it's just the same. And if you want to get goosed for a little more money, you sit up closer to the front of the plane, get yourself a little more leg room, you know, whatever. But
really? How much more are you going to get?
How much? 5 inches.
Really?
5 inches of extra leg room.
That's a lot.
Yeah. Well, it doesn't seem like a lot, but it's... Think about it, you know, on an airplane. And speaking of which, what a great lead-in for the next story. WestJet which is a Canadian airline, does not fly to Sacramento, WestJet decided that they could cram one more row of seats into the back of their airplane if they just took those back rows of seats and put them just a little closer together, 28 inches apart. Which is, if you don't know, that's not very much. If you're a tall person, you're 6 foot tall, you're going to have some issues. Their customers so revolted at what was happening, and the pictures online of people with long legs being crammed into these seats, and WestJet has decided that WestJet tried, this is from the airline, tried seat pitches that are popular with many airlines around the globe as they serve to provide affordable fares. At this time, it's just important that we react quickly to things that don't meet the needs of our guests. You think?
Yeah.
Your guest said, basically, we're going to fly Air Canada from now on. This is ridiculous. And they put pictures online. So that tends to get people's attention fairly quickly. So WestJet is taking out the extra row of seats in the back of their aircraft and returning a little bit of civilization to the people who sit just in front of them. And finally, last story in the news today, California tourism took a big hit in 2025. Visitation to the state, which grew every year forever, was off about 4%. So instead of a growth, they got a decline. Now they're talking about 2026. They're optimistic that the growth will return. And I just don't listen. If you know any Canadians, especially after what happened this week in Switzerland, I don't know any Canadians who have said, you know, I really can't wait to get back to the United States. So I don't think they're coming back until the orange guy is gone. That's my prediction. So there goes a whole huge percent of your people right there. Las Vegas is a huge draw. And if you haven't looked lately, Las Vegas on a map is right next to California. So if you come to Las Vegas and you're going to go anywhere else besides Vegas, you're probably coming into California to spend some of your time and your money. So I just don't, I think the message we're sending foreign visitors is, we want to look at your cell phone and see what your social media looks like, and we're going to charge you an extra $250 if you're not from one of our favorite countries, and all of this other. And they see on the news what's happening to people who are, you know, look a little different. Would you want to come here? So I just say, I don't think the World Cup is going to make up the difference. I think that we're going to continue to see some dramatic drop-offs in visitation here in the United States from foreign countries. I just hope that they continue to welcome us to their countries, which is so far has been the case. And that's your travel news for today.
And we are the Travel Guys, Mark and Tom, and you can check us out at travelguysradio.com. You know, we talk about Rudy's Hideaway and Lobster House here every week on the Travel Guys, but I wanted to remind you that if you're looking for a particular night that you'd like to go on a date and pick up a great meal for a little bit of a discounted price, I recommend the Monday Night Dinner for Two. It includes clam chowder or a salad, baked potato, fresh vegetable, and warm sourdough bread, and you have choices. You can have the 6-ounce lobster tail, slow roasted prime rib, chicken marsala, fried prawns, or my favorite, the filet mignon bourguignon. And they also have a Monday wine special to go with it. Normally a $27 bottle of Zin, you can get, or for that matter, a Chardonnay or a Cab. Normally $27, you can get it for $18. So if you're looking for a special night to go to Rudy's, even though Rudy's is special every night, Monday night's dinner for two is my recommendation. Remember, Rudy's Hideaway, easy to find, right off of Highway 50 at Hazel. Okay, Mark, overhead bin space.
Yep.
The one that you're entitled to. A lot of people, you know, we talked about it in our headlines at the top of the show. We used the word entitled. Are you entitled to a space in an overhead bin when you get on a plane?
The quick answer to that is no. No one is entitled to any space. If you're sitting even in the forward cabin, you're not entitled to anything. in the forward cabin, if you're in first class, because there are only four people per row instead of six, it's logical that there's going to be more room per passenger and that everything will probably fit up there fairly well. In coach, little different circumstance, as everybody is trying to bring on everything on board except perhaps the kitchen sink. And so what has happened is that overhead, when you talk to the average person who's waiting to get on board a plane, you're just kind of standing around, you're listening to their conversations and stuff. Inevitably, the conversations, a great percentage of them will be about overhead space. Is there going to be any space? I'm in boarding group number 83. Is there going to be any overhead space left when I get ready to get on board? So this creates a lot of stress for people. Of course, you have airlines who are saying, you know, we need to check, we need to gate check a dozen bags here. There'll be no charge to check it, which doesn't make any sense to me at all. If you are downstairs and you've got a carry-on bag and you're thinking, well, you know, I could just check this, but heck, it would cost me $35 or $40. I'll get it through security. I don't have any liquids in here that are over 4 ounces. I'll get it through security and check it at the gate. So unless you've got some prohibited item, there's really no reason that you can't just smuggle it on. And I think that more and more people are not stupid. And and of course, the baggage charge is going to be a two-way charge. So if it's $40, it's going to be $80. And that's a reasonable chunk of change to most people. So people are, point being that people are bringing more and more stuff onto the plane as a carry-on. Now, the other problem you have is that people who are working at the gates for the airlines, unless it's Frontier or where the employees are incentivized to catch people and collect revenue from them for oversized bags, they've got the sizer right there. The other airlines have the sizer, but look at the stuff that people carry on. Just stand there and watch people, or if you board early, watch the stuff that people are bringing on. Half of that stuff would never fit in the sizer at the gate. Some people are bringing suitcases on that are what I would call full-size suitcases. They are 2 feet across and 3.5 feet long, and they have no business bringing that bag onto the airplane because it won't fit into the overhead bin the right way, so it has to be turned sideways in many cases. So now one bag is actually taking up the space for two bags.
Mm-hmm.
So since the difference may be just space for a few bags at the end of the boarding process, that alone can cause the problem. I don't understand why airlines do not police this a little bit more and tell people that, hey, you know, put that bag in the sizer. No, it's too big. You will have to check that bag. And it's not going on to the airplane. Now, whether the airline wants to charge you to check it, that's their business. But if they would just enforce this a little bit across the board, in 2 months, the whole problem would go away because people would know that they're going to take this bag away from me. So there's no reason for me to even try and get it upstairs.
How often do you see them actually have someone check the bag on the sizer?
I couldn't remember the last time I've seen it happen.
That's what I'm talking about. However, my little granddaughters who fly from Austin to California, mm-hmm. The youngest had gotten a new suitcase. Her mother bought her one, and it was just a tiny bit bigger than the one that she had had before that she had flown with. They stopped her, and
really?
They held it up against the side of the sizer, mm-hmm. and they says, "I'm sorry, honey, this is too big." And they didn't charge her for it, but her $35 bag got free, yeah. and they put it on under the plane. But she was surprised. I was surprised when she got here. I looked at it, and I go, I don't think I wouldn't even have questioned this bag. But here again, I never see it happen. I suppose it does, but it certainly needs to in a lot of these situations.
Well, it can't be arbitrary. That's what will piss people off to no end, is if nobody ever does this and you get to the gate and you've got an enthusiastic gate agent and by God, she's going to check everything that's over that doesn't fit in the sizer. And she's going to use the sizer in order to determine that, which is what the darn thing is for in the first place. And all that person is doing their job, but they will catch hell automatically because nobody else is doing their job that way. So this has to be it. it really pretty much has to be all the airlines. I mean, I'm not in favor of collusion, but this is something that they really need to all agree on. Or in Sacramento, if just Southwest said, you know what, this craziness has to end somewhere, and so we're going to end it now. If you have a bag that isn't a carry-on bag, we're not going to let you bring it onto the airplane. And people would be mad for a while, but if it was fair and it was enforced with everybody the same way, then eventually everybody would know these are the rules and that's what I have to play by. So it's a problem that's caused by the airlines themselves, and because they get revenue for checking bags now, it makes no sense whatsoever why they are begging people to check bags for free at the gate so there will be enough carry-on space. And the only problem with that is every once in a while you get an airline that says, now, remember, the ones you gate checked, they'll be in the jetway when you get off. So just wait for your bag there. Now, if you've got a tight connection and you gate checked your bag and you have to wait for it to come up, that could be the 5 minutes that keeps you from making your flight. So there has to be a better system. If the airlines, you can't have it both ways. If they're going to charge for bags and make you check bags, then let's play by those rules throughout the whole process. And if we're not, then that's fine. But don't cry to me and say, we're going to have to delay the flight. If we don't get enough people to check overhead bags, we'll have to check them at the last minute, and then our flight will be late, and all those of you with connections, that'll be a problem. Why go through all of that?
Right.
I'm sorry. I just needed to rant about this.
By the way, if you're just joining us, we are the Travel and Entertainment Guys, Mark and Tom. Mark, we talked about entitlement. We determined that you're not entitled to anything in the overheads. One of the questions a lot of people have and they're confused with is, well, if there is space in the overheads, am I supposed to just take the one that's above my seat, or can I put it anywhere? And what is your recommendation in regards to where you want to put it?
As we said before we started, the answer to, is anyone guaranteed overhead space on a plane? The answer is no. Now, I will tell you that it would be considered bad form to get on the plane, and if you're sitting in coach, to immediately snare a spot in the first class cabin for your bag and go on back. A flight attendant would probably stop you. But I have seen, when the last people are boarding and there's space up front for bags, I've seen flight attendants say, yeah, put your bag here. And just go on and sit in the back of the plane, and people are fine with that. But I would say to you that unless a flight attendant specifically tells you to put it, I wouldn't put my bag in the first class cabin per se, because there may still be people to board there who want some space also. So cabin wise, but you know, if you're one of the last people on the airplane and you're passing overhead bins that are crammed full, then I can tell you when you get to the back of the plane, there may not be any space. You see a space for your bag, use it. Take it.
Mm-hmm.
Because nobody is entitled to anything when it comes to overhead space on a plane. And the other piece of wisdom I think that you're alluding to here is be careful when the flight attendant says, you know, just put your bag any place. Look, there's a space right back there, three rows behind where you're sitting. That's fine unless you have a really tight connection, in which case be careful, because you may not be able to get back two or three rows until a whole lot of people have gotten off the airplane, and that might cost you some valuable time. So try to put, if you're not putting your bag where you're seated, try to put it ahead of where you're seated. Obviously, if there's no other option, why then you can put it behind. But if the bag is going to come up at baggage claim at your destination, then I can't see any reason why you wouldn't gate check it. If you've beaten the system, you've now saved the $35-$40, and why not give them the bag and let it go through the system and just come up on the other end? Unless, of course, you've got something in the bag that is breakable or something of that sort that wouldn't do well, you know, unless you could personally handle it and put it into the carry-on. But this whole carry-on space thing on airplanes is becoming one of the biggest points of contention, and I have seen at least twice on flights that I was on, Tom, people nearly come to blows over, two ladies did it one time and two men another time. And basically it's like, hey, what are you putting in that bag there? That's my space. From somebody who's already seated on the airplane.
Really?
That's my space. Well, you didn't use it. I mean, it's not your space, but You know, you can't put your bag there. And finally, the flight attendant has to come down and explain that, no, it's okay to put your bag there and come down four notches and you'll be okay. And so it is a problem. And more people are making it a point of contention on the airplane. So when you're buying a ticket, for God's sake, you've got a short layover and a big carry-on bag, then you need to consider buying a seat in the middle of the airplane or a little bit closer to the front so you don't have those same issues. You'll be in a lower-numbered boarding group, and you'll get on the plane earlier.
Do you pick the overhead that is on the same side that you're sitting, or do you pick the one on the other side? We got about 30 seconds.
What a crazy question, but I usually pick the one on my side, although the one on the other side is easier when you stand up to get things out of.
That's what I was going to say.
So, good point. I only laugh because I see people standing all the time, and they're like trying to make that decision. Which one should I do?
We're going places with that sports leisure flair. A world of adventure, and we take you there.
At Sports Leisure Vacations, we have just put out a new publication, a new newsletter that has all kinds of wonderful new destinations on it. Ever think about going to Japan? Perhaps exploring Route 66? There are all kinds of wonderful places that you can visit all around the planet. Sports Leisure Vacations makes all of the arrangements, even picks you up at your home. If you're a mature traveler, this is the way to go. You can find out more about all of our new tours at sportsleisure.com, or you can call our office and we'll send you a printed copy of our recent publication. That's 916-361-2051. 916-361-2051 or sportsleisure.com. See the world. We'll plan it for you, and you'll have a great time.
Hey there, it's Mark Hoffman and Tom Romano, the Travel and Entertainment Guys, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. It's time to bring back one of our favorite guests with Travelers United, Charlie Leoka. Charlie, welcome to the Travel Guys.
Hey, I'm glad to be here.
So, Charlie, the etiquette of air travel, boarding, in-flight, deplaning, and waiting for baggage. This is all, to those of us who fly a lot, this is something that we see all the time. But for folks who don't fly often, or maybe who do, perhaps a quick lesson in what's appropriate in acting on the plane. Let's start off with boarding the aircraft.
The first thing I'd like to do is remember the golden rule, because the golden rule is the way that you sort of remember all these other pieces of etiquette. You treat everybody as you'd like to be treated yourself.
If you get to your seat and you just step in, maybe you've got something you need to put in the overhead, just step in for a second. Five or six people can probably go by you, and then somebody a couple rows up is going to stop and put their something in the overhead, and there's the perfect opportunity for you to step into the aisle and take care of your stuff. So if you can kind of go with the flow, it works a little better. What about during the flight? We hear a lot about man spreading. You know, guys like to get on and spread their legs out and take half of the other person's space next to them or half of the aisle space. And then we've got armrests and people who like to take off their shoes and clip their nails. Give me some wisdom on some of this stuff.
First of all, in terms of the man spraying, if it's just your legs, then that's something normal. But when they start to slide over the side of you with their fat stomachs and so on, that's when I've had enough. And then in terms of armrests, it's always a center seat. That's the way I look at it. As long as we can keep it that way, that's pretty good for everybody. I say in terms of toenails, don't have anyone clip the toenails anywhere near you. And then with bare feet, you don't want bare feet coming up, sneaking up beside you. I've had guys stick their feet up on my armrest. During the flight, don't use a speakerphone and don't use loud music that you've got going, because it just bothers everyone. So those are the main things.
Charlie, I got to ask you about the armrests and the center seat to make it, get a clear picture of where you come from on this. A lot of people believe that if you're in the center seat, because you're stuck there, you should be entitled to both armrests.
Right. Well, that's how I feel. And as long as you talk with the other person and you smile at them, then you can reach some sort of an agreement.
guys, the biggest, probably the very biggest violation, I guess, this happens on our motor coaches too, on buses, and we've gotten really, we have a zero tolerance on it. People who get on and think that they don't have headphones with them, so they just turn their phone on and they just sit there and listen to whatever. They have a conversation with their friend. They listen to videos, completely oblivious to people around them and how intrusive that might be. You're forcing, because it's sound, you're forcing everybody within a few rows of you to hear that. All right, so Charlie, it's time to get off the plane now. A couple of tips for people. What do we do about the person who's charging up the aisle? Or give us a couple tips for courtesy and etiquette getting off the airplane.
Well, normally you wait. If you don't have to be off the plane quickly, if you've got an hour before you get to the next flight, you can just take your time. But if someone's got only a couple minutes, then they have to go quickly. And a lot of times the flight attendants will say, listen, so-and-so is in the back of the plane, and they've got to move up. They've got six people who've got a really tight connection with the flight. And I think that also has something to do with it. When they do start deplaning, you've got to just do it row by row, because that makes it easier for everybody to get off the plane, and you also get off a lot quicker.
Yeah, one tip that I would share with people here is that if you have a tight connection, do not put your bag behind where you are sitting, because to Charlie's point, you have to get to that bag before you can get off the plane, and it's fairly likely that you won't be able to get to it until the people where the bag is have gotten off. So that could easily cost you 5, 6, 7 minutes. If you've got a tight connection, then you really need to check. You really need to check your bags. The other thing to consider, if you've got a tight connection, you know this before you get on the airplane. You know that you've got 40. If you've got less than an hour, let's say less than 55 minutes, then you're in one of these big airports like Denver or Chicago or some Dallas, something like that. It's going to be all you can do to get off the plane, tinkle, and get to the gate in time for that flight to leave. So really and truly, consider the possibility. You don't have to buy when we say buy up, you don't have to buy a first class seat. You don't even have to buy a Comfort Plus, Economy Plus seat. There's seats in the middle of the plane that the airline gets some more money for now, just called preferred seats. And if you got to the front of that section, you'd be in the middle part of the plane. It could very well save you an extra 5 minutes of getting off the aircraft, plus all the stress that goes with it. I just thought I would throw that in, Charlie. One more. You're off the plane. You're downstairs. You're waiting for your bags. What's the etiquette there?
Well, there I always tell people, and sometimes I'll even speak to people, I go, hey, why don't you just step back a couple of steps, and that way you can still see your bag coming. But as soon as you see your bag, then you can get up closer, and you can go ahead and pick up your luggage. But you can't get your luggage. Everybody's huddled right next to the baggage belt, because nobody can see except you. And so that doesn't help anyone. And so once you see your bag, move up and move it quickly. And that's what you have to do.
If everybody would just stand two steps back from the baggage belt. Mm-hmm. I mean, literally, if everybody would stand two steps back, that gives everybody enough room when they see their bag, no matter where they are, to get through the crowd there, get up to the belt and get their bag and get on their way. So, yeah, it always amazes me that people think, I guess, if they stand right next to the belt, that they will get the bag sooner if it comes around that way. Charlie, I appreciate the wisdom that you're sharing today. Like I said, this is kind of basic stuff, but really and truly, it's the kind of things that if you don't fly very often, think about a few of these things that Charlie has said. Also, I want to point out to you that Travelers United is one of these groups that really, really, really is in it for us, meaning you and I and the other folks who are listening to the radio show here. Charlie and his gang are constantly doing little things in Washington, D.C. to try to make life just a little bit better for us when it comes to refunds or airline policies or things that are just not fair. TravelersUnited.org You can find, they have free information there. They also have a paid membership where you can get regular notifications from them. It's something that I subscribe to because I consider it to be really, really basic and really, really important. So Travelers United, Charlie, thank you for spending a little bit of time with us.
Okay, thank you very much. And one other thing that we just heard yesterday, and we wrote about it today, is that New York City has eliminated the hidden hotel fees. So when you get a hotel showing up in New York City about the middle of February, from the middle of February on, it's going to include all of the hotel resort fees and their special fees and their urban fees and so on. So all these things which you used to have to pay extra for at the end, they were hidden from you. Now they're going to all be included in the price which you're originally given. And that will be much, much, much better.
And if people see those prices up front, it provides a disincentive for the hotel to pop those fees on you at the last minute when they think it's a little easier to get away with. If they have to show you a $40 in New York City, a $30, $40 resort, urban, whatever fee that it is, I'll call it a BS fee. That's on there. I mean, which often includes things like free local phone calls from your room. Like we're not all carrying a phone around with us. So
I know.
Little victories. That's what Charlie's Gang is about. Little victories, little things that protect us and save us money. Thank you again, my friend. Be well in Washington, D.C. It's an interesting place to be right now.
That it sure is. Okay, for sure.
It's always a pleasure to have Charlie on. He and his group at Travelers United work very hard and to try to do the best they can to make travel a little more fair for us common folk.
If we didn't do this program, I probably would not know of Travelers United. So Charlie's been a guest, and some of his people have been guests on our program over the years. But Charlie kind of labors there, and nobody really knows what he's doing until something good happens, and then we get a little benefit, or we knock something that the airlines were doing down, or something like that. And once in a while, Charlie's folks will get a little, you know, a side credit there or something like that. But they are there working for us all the time. And really, if you are a frequent traveler, you should go to travelersunited.org. You can find some good information there. Whether you decide to pay for it or not is entirely up to you.
All right. It's time for the odds and ends segment, Mark. And let's see.
There's a lot of stuff here. I found out something. You know, the folks at Sacramento Airport have been really good about communicating with us in recent years about stuff that's going on at the airport and stuff like that. I'm on their press release list and all that jazz. But obviously something got by me.
Huh.
Because I was looking around online for some information about the airport, and I found out some things about growth. And that is, we are about to get, one of our terminals is about to get bigger. The terminal at Southwest is in. They are going to add some gates onto the west end, which would be the southwest end of the terminal, the side of it that's closest to San Francisco, per se. So there are going to be new gates there and new baggage, some added baggage facilities downstairs. And they say there's going to be some extra ticketing area. And I'm not sure all this is going to come from, so I'm going to have to get on the phone with Scott Sweeney and find out, and I'll have that information for you next week. But it looks like that our airport is getting bigger, which can only mean one thing. That is that more and more people are flying from there, and we need bigger facilities in order to be able to handle more people. So I remember the old terminal out there before we got the new one. And remember, there used to be the old Host Hotel across the street. You could actually stay at the airport and walk across the street. United had flights to Reading and to Crescent City and Eureka. I remember in the olden days. Now you have to go to San Francisco to get those things. But, things have changed fairly dramatically at the airport. And we've become a real city with all kinds of international flights to Mexico and the like.
Is there any talk, or is anybody thinking of putting a hotel closer, or is the ones just up the street going to be it?
That seems like the logical thing, doesn't it?
It does.
But there are so many hotels a few miles from the airport But it would seem that the airport could get concession fees from people like that, or build a couple exits closer or something. But I mean, you've got a Hilton Garden Inn and a Hampton and what about 6 or 8 hotels there at Arena Boulevard and the like. And then you've got some more closer. I think many of the flight crews are staying at the IHG, the big hotel downtown by the Capital One Center. But I don't see anybody saying there's not enough airport hotel rooms. It would be nice to be able to park at the airport and the night before and walk across the street, which you can do at many airports, but you cannot do in Sacramento. But it's going to get bigger. And the stuff that they're already building out there, some of that is going to be done very soon. You can see that the walkway, soon you will not have to take the people mover in Terminal B to get out to the Southwest and Alaska and Frontier gates. You will be able to walk out there if you wish.
Or better yet, ride on the walking, moving sidewalk. Because I think a lot of people say,
it gives them another shot to get your concession money from you.
That's true. But I mean, my first thought was, I'm not going to walk all the way out there. That's a long walk. And then a dumb Tom realized that, well, it's not going to be just a walk. It's going to be a moving walkway, which will get you out there pretty quick.
Yeah. This is, if you go to the Wikipedia, if you're an air geek, go to the Wikipedia stuff and read the stuff about Sacramento Airport, International Airport. It's really quite interesting. Of course, it's called SMF, which is Sacramento Metropolitan Field. That's actually a designation taken from the old airport that was in South Sacramento. So I'm guessing I got to look up and see who SIA belongs to. I'm babbling on about some other stuff.
SIA?
SIA must be taken. That must be why they can't get it. Anyways, here's an interesting item from our buddy Chris Elliott. Says, would you pay extra to avoid talking to an AI? You know, now you call almost any business and you get laundered through a procession of commands, and if you want this, do this, and then people come on and talk to you in a recorded voice, and you don't ever get to talk to a live person unless you slam the phone down or throw it against the wall or something like that. Chris thinks that what is about to happen is that you're going to get charged a fee if you want to talk to a real person. If you want to talk to a real person, you know, press 3, and for a $3 service charge, you can actually talk to a real person. So Chris thinks this is perhaps coming. So he's saying, would you pay extra to avoid talking to an artificial intelligence person, so to speak?
Well, SIA, the only thing I can find is there is it's a reference for an airline out of China.
That could be the answer.
Has nothing to do with SIA. I can't even... Zion.
But if an airline already has that, is already using that code, that would make sense of why they're not using it for the airport. Plus, it's a little bit of a throwback. I'll ask the airport people. So maybe somebody knows the answer to that question. If you're listening to the Travel Guys right now and you know the answer to Sacramento Metropolitan Field, why we haven't gotten SIA instead of SMF.
Yeah,
if you're an airline geek or an aviation geek, you know the answer to that question. TravelGuysRadio.com. There's a place to leave a note there.
Yeah, how would you pronounce Xiguan?
Not even trying.
Okay. That is the SIA is the airport code for Xgon or whatever it would be, airport in China.
They gave
that the designation, no longer available for Sacramento International Airport.
So that X kind of sounds like an S, although there are two or three different, and I'm going to get myself in trouble with people from the Asian continent here, so I'm not even going to try to go down this road, but there are two or three different, depending on the country or the region of the country you're in, to pronounce that last name, so I'm not even going to take a shot at it. But it's very possible that the fact that the airline has that designation is what. All right, we've babbled on here about a long time about something that nobody gives a damn about, probably. The Chicago City Council, hotel taxes around the country have gotten just outrageous. It's not uncommon now, 15, 16, 70% tax on hotels. In the old days, that money, when it was 5, 6, 7%, the money would go back generally to tourism entities or for road work or something that was at least marginally related to tourism. That's not the case anymore. The Chicago City Council is considering a new assessment on hotel stays in their city that supporters say would raise about $40 million. They want to put a 1.5% assessment on rooms with 100 rooms or more. This is not a tax, they say. This is an assessment for Chicago hotels in the central part of the city would make the combined rate of a tax and assessments almost 19%. So rounded off to 20%, hotel rooms in downtown Chicago are not cheap to start with. Let's say $250. That would be fairly, that wouldn't be at the anywhere near the top. That would be towards the bottom. But $250, you're going to pay another $50 in hotel tax.
Wow.
That's just, but it's not, I'm so sorry. The Chicago City Council says it's not a tax.
Huh.
It's an assessment.
An assessment.
Yes. Applies only to lodging.
The same.
And not to other hotel amenities. So therefore, it's not a tax. It's an assessment. Delta Airlines, I want to applaud this pilot. You may have seen this already on the internet, but a Delta Airlines pilot, their lady got on board, and she had a hat on. You can find this on the internet. You may even find it at travelguysradio.com. I might have gotten it there. But this lady got onto the airplane, and she had a hat that the F word was fairly prominent on it. And I don't know how the pilot found out about it. My guess is that somebody complained or mentioned it. But the pilot came back to, and this is on film because obviously, you know, people now they put all this stuff on their phones. And so you can hear the pilot very nicely addressing the lady and saying, you know, that that is inappropriate. And so she tells him, well, she won't. He says, you know, you can't wear that on the plane. So she takes it off her head and puts it in her lap. And he said, well, you know, for a variety of reasons. And he talks about, you know, the fact that that might offend somebody and that there are small children on the plane and stuff like that, that this is not appropriate. And will you promise me that you're not going to put that back on or bring it out during the flight? And initially she pushes back and not giving him the answer that he wants. And so he's like, well, you know, unless we come to an agreement here, you're going to get off the plane. Mm-hmm. And good for him. I mean, I'm not with the Secretary of Transportation who says that we should all wear coats and ties on planes, like our friend Charlie was referring to earlier. But I don't necessarily we can be comfortable on airplanes. If sweatpants and a sweatshirt are your idea of comfortable on an airplane, as long as none of your body parts are hanging out and you took a shower in the morning and your clothes are clean, I don't really care what you're wearing. I'm not going to pay that much attention. But, you know, if you're wearing something that really is offensive, good for this pilot that he got up and went back and he didn't accost the lady at all. He just presented the fact that, you know, this is not acceptable. And I'm the captain of the airplane and I make the rules. You know, she's like, well, where does it say that? I'm the captain and I say that. So you get to play by my rules.
Well, there you go. And you know what? That's how it has been. And that's how it always will be, you know. I mean, yeah, good for him.
Well, I mean, come on, folks. You have to have common sense. I mean, you're going out in public, and you're going to be on an airplane and in an airport. And regardless of what you think of yourself or what statement that you're trying to make, consider the fact that there might be some people who might not share the same standards that you're reflecting. And that, come on, you know, that crossed the line. And I'm glad that the pilot took the time to make sure that she and the people around her knew where the line was drawn.
Well, that wraps it for another Saturday, Mark. Final word.
Final words. Dance like nobody's watching, and we'll see you next Saturday at 11 o'clock.